Hey everyone, welcome back to Hustle Culture Dropout. I am your host, Chastity Campbell, and I am here this week with pet party planner extraordinaire, my friend Amanda Shaw. Amanda, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here finally. And Amanda is, a pet party planner, which literally until I met you, I didn't even know that this existed. And now it's amazing because when I see you post things on socials, and then I'll kind of see other people chime in, make comments or something in your industry. And I'm like, this is legit a whole thing. It's a whole thing. And it was funny because I was showing my son yesterday. We were talking about doing the interview today, and I'm going through your face or your Instagram feed, and I'm like, look at these parties that she does. And I was showing Lola's, and they were like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So pet party planner. And you actually have, I think you have two brands under that you work under, right? The Buster's Party Shop, which is more the party hats and the party favors, right, for pets. And then the Bark Day Planner, which is you plan the parties for the pets, not necessarily, I guess, dogs only, but you do other pets. Is that correct? I know you make party hats for other pets. Yes. I know that a party hat has been made for a snake.
Oh gosh. Ooh, my favorite word.
I remember the story. So but anyway, thank you so much for being here. And why don't you start off with just telling us a little bit about your business?
Definitely. Thanks for having me. So my business is, as Chastity said, parties for pets. We plan, curate, design, and then are there the entire time planning these awesome over-the-top luxury parties for primarily dogs, but other pets too. And then we also have the product side of things where we make handmade pet party hats for literally any animal or pet you can think of. It's had a hat on its head. So it's pretty fun to be able to celebrate with a little bit of everybody's pets, you know, that they have, not just the traditional cats and dogs, but as you said, the S word and all kinds of other ones, pigs, llamas, iguanas, you know, they've literally had celebrations for every pet. So it's really, really fun to have the product side and the service side of the business.
Yeah. I love that. So with when you said that your parties are over the top, I would definitely 100%, I do not have parties like this for my human children. So I feel my kids, my little girls would be can we go to Lola's birthday party? Lola is a dog. We want to hang out at that party because it's amazing.
Definitely.
Because they are incredible. And I know you guys cannot see right now these incredible parties, but they are complete with balloon arches and backdrops and incredible locales, and there's tiered cakes and the whole shebang, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Anything literally that somebody has seen on Pinterest, we can recreate and make it a safe space for their pets. So a lot of the venues we use are actually used for weddings and corporate events and different things. And when we go to them and ask them for an indoor space, because it is hard to find a space that's a venue that allows dogs that's inside in Texas, right? It's hot as hell during the summer. And so you need a place to still be able to celebrate. And when we go to them, they are blown away. They're the same way. What? This is a thing. I'm so excited. I can't believe yes, I want all these dogs in here. You know, they're so excited. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to open an entire different door for our clients, allowing them to have these safe indoor AC'd options that allow them to have these really awesome parties that you see all these, you know, Pinterest boards about.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. This is they are legit things that you would see on television. Do you find that in those venue spaces? Because I would think that it sort of opens up a new clientele to those vendors as well. Mm-hmm. Those spaces, obviously it might not be something that they market to if they're marketing to corporate events or to weddings and whatnot. But the parties that you do, the parties that you plan, and I'm sure that they can range from obviously tons of people and tons of dogs or tons of animals to something on a smaller scale, but they really are very lavish and incredible. And I would definitely put them on the lines of like a wedding type of like planning, like the scale of how much goes into planning. And so I would think that of you know, it's, you're not just doing this like on a patio of an outdoor restaurant or something. Like these are actual spaces. So I think the unique thing about the party, the pet parties, is that it probably does open up like kind of a new clientele for them, you know, also. So they're probably like really excited about having that opportunity, you know?
Yes. And they love it. I mean, the two that we've recently had at larger indoor venues have been just like ooing and awing. And some of my vendors that I've reached out to, one of them is a bartending service for the humans. And she literally, when she got there, she was the owner. She was like, all of my team knew. Oh, Nicole's going to the dog party. We know that. She was like, I am so stoked. Like every single time, unless it's already booked and they've requested me, I'm coming to your parties because it's the best. Amazing. And yeah, it's just funny. Like you would, at first, like a long time ago, I was so like in my head if people would judge me. And now it's funny to look like almost 6 years, people are like excited and the vendors want to be at those parties and they want to stay at Lola's. Right. I mean, all of my vendors pretty much stayed and just hung out and had a great time and got to actually be a part of the party rather than just setting up for the party or just photographing the party, which is really fun because they've become friends too, which is awesome in the industry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's rewind just a little bit. I know you said that you've been doing this for, you said what, 6 years about?
It'll be six in August.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I would imagine that like it's probably changed a lot, I would think, in the last 6 years, because I feel like, you know, I do see more of it now, but I also know you and I know your story. So I'm like more, I guess, aware that they exist. But I would think like 6 years ago, you might have been like pretty innovative in the space. Like, were there a lot of people in this space? Was there... like, how did you even like end up in this space? Like, did somebody ask you like, hey, do you want to like, can you make a birthday party for my dog? Like, how did you end up here? Because you have a really unique story. You have a unique backstory. Yeah. So I want you to tell I want you to tell everybody about like where you actually came from. And then, you know, obviously it's led you here because it's not a path that is even remotely related.
I laugh because when people remind me of it, it just cracks me up from like first party to this last party. It's just crazy to see like the transformation. But I have a background in science. So I was in scientific research and then I had started my PhD program in neuroscience. Just kind of thought that was the path I was supposed to do. Left high school, went into college thinking science, you can go into medicine, you can go into pharmaceuticals, you know, options are endless. Take this path. Wasn't the best at it, honestly. That should have been my first clue. But, you know, you keep going and doing and whatever. Ended up in Galveston and got this awesome job with this amazing principal investigator. And he really started to show me like different ways of looking at research. And so I decided when he said, apply for grad school, that I would go ahead and do it. Got accepted into grad school and panicked, literally. I started a wedding internship with a wedding planner locally after I got done working because I was like, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. Because I knew deep down, like in my soul, that science wasn't it. I just didn't know what it was, right? Mm-hmm. You spend all this money, all this time, blood, sweat, and tears, and you're supposed to totally flip and not do it anymore. It just was not feasible in my head. So I hated weddings with a passion. Wasn't for me. Apparently, I wasn't supposed to plan them for people. And so I just said, all right, screw it, we'll go to grad school. And so I was in my third year. And that was around the time, like 2016, 17, 18, like somewhere around there, when people started making these Instagrams for their pets and their dogs and their cats, right? It was like booming. So we were driving back from Arkansas and we were like, let's make one for our four dogs. So we made an Instagram. And that's kind of how all of this sparked. You would see people celebrating their dogs, right? And we don't plan to have human children. So the dogs were our kids. And we were going to friends' first birthday parties for their children and then seeing all this celebration on social media. We were kind of like, man, well, more me than my husband. I was like, man, I really want to celebrate my dogs. So we threw together just like a quick party for our golden doodle Teddy. invited random people off social media I had never met in my entire life and a couple close friends, and we're like, let's go have a party. We threw a party and it was like so much fun. I had a blast. Everyone around me had so much fun. And this was just like popping onto a dog-friendly patio. Everyone was still on leash, like very quick party. It wasn't to the level like off-leash play and having fun in a private space. And so they literally were patio parties before.
Yeah.
Plastic tablecloths, like very, very different. And one of the girls asked me who did this, or if I could do this for her. Like, she would love to have a party and she doesn't have a clue where to start. Like, her creative bone just, she doesn't have one. And so I was like, that'd be really fun. And so in between experiments, I was like constantly just thinking about it, posting on Instagram, made up a name, which is the Barkley Planner. It stuck. And then was like, I'm going to make a logo and just go for it. So that's kind of how it started.
That is amazing. I love that, because you're right. I mean, and that's what I was saying like earlier, the scale and the just the capacity at which you do this is incredible, but it's not unlike what you see people doing for their children, right?
Yes.
Like, it's very much something that, now, I mean, I would not, that's like not my jam to do. I mean, when my kids were younger, I did put an effort in because I was like, I had like more energy and but I sort of felt like, oh, I have to do this. Like, I have to, like, you know, do these great parties because everybody else is doing these great parties. So it wasn't really like, because I necessarily like wanted to. I mean, I am pretty creative, so there was some fun with it, but I mean, I never even took it to that scale, you know, but you know, it is one of those things where it's like, I would imagine that if you, I mean, because one of my very best friends that I've grown up with my whole entire life, she doesn't have children, and her dog and any dog that she's ever had in her life is like, that is her child. Like, it goes to work with her. It's a whole thing. Like, I will take it if something ever happens to my friend Brenda, I am to take Jax. Like, it is written, it's out. Like, she's like, this is a big deal to her, you know? And so I totally, totally get that. But it's one of those things where you're like, well, why should the people with the humans have all the fun, right? Like, this could be super fun to do, especially you said you had four dogs at the time.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So you decided that this was it. And you, at what point did you think, this is what I want to continue? Like, because I would assume at the beginning, when you first made your logo and you made the name and everything, you're still doing your science stuff, right? You're still like pursuing your grad degree and you're on that path, correct?
I did that for like maybe 3 months. And in between the time we did Teddy's party to the day that I formally left my PhD, which was really scary and crazy, I had never thought I would leave and do something like this. Like, and people thought I was crazy. Like, why would you up and leave? You get a stipend. You are getting a really great, you know, degree. There are so many options. Like, why would you just leave? And so my plan of attack was, if I can find a job in the pet industry, doing something that is not just veterinarian work, because that's obvious, or I would have went to school for that. If I can find something that equates to that amount of money, then I'm going to leave and just see. Like, if you don't take a chance, you're never going to know. And I even remember my lab mate, who I'm still close friends with to this day, was like, I would never have the guts to do this. Like, oh my God, I'm like living through you. Cause she also wasn't the biggest fan, but we graduated at the same time, which was awesome. She was the first person I met when I moved to Galveston, which was awesome. So it was like a kind of like full circle moment for the two of us. But I left. I put in my notice. I took a leave of absence for 6 months and I got a job managing a doggy daycare in Houston. So I straight up was like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to put all my eggs in this pet industry basket. I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to see if maybe, you know, the parties is just a hobby, right? And then I end up working in the pet industry doing, you know, pet resort management or whatever it is, at least I'll know. And I totally loved it, got caught up in it, loved being in a pack of 30, 40 dogs a day. It was like the best feeling ever. It's like therapy, honestly, most days. And then I totally had forgot about my lab, like never checked back in, was just like living my best life, you know? And then my PI called, like checking in, and she was moving to Oklahoma and wanted me to go with her. And I was like, no, ma'am, I am not moving to Oklahoma. Sorry. But I still got my master's out of it. So I got something out of the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just crazy to think that I had no clue if I was going to like it. I had no clue if it was going to work out, if I was going to be the right fit for this company. And then it was great. And I was able to do both for a really long time until I went out on my own and do this full time now.
That's crazy. So did you have any pushback from like your family or were you married at the time? Were
yes.
you in training? Mm-hmm. Okay. Or what did Trey say? Like, was he just like, you are insane that you want to do this? Or, I mean, like I have an incredibly, incredibly supportive husband. Like he legitimately is like my biggest cheerleader, but I can't imagine if I went to him and I was like, I know I'm pursuing a PhD, but I've decided that I'm going to plan birthday parties for dogs, that he would think like, what? Like, no. I think ultimately he might come around. But so like, did you get, I mean, I know you said that you think like people thought you were crazy, but did you get any like serious pushback from it that actually made you think like, I don't know, like second guess yourself a little bit?
I mean, I think I second guessed myself up until the day like I walked into that place and was like, I hadn't been in a new place since 2013. So like it was starting all over again with everything. Trey was the most supportive. Like he was the one who I think pushed me just enough to put me out of my comfort zone and say, just try it. Like I don't think I would have gotten the job if I hadn't walked up to my boss at the time and been like, hey, I totally applied online. I know we're at a vendor fair, but I'm Amanda, you know, just like awkwardly. Mm-hmm. It was my first market for the Barkday Planner and Trey came with me to help me. And he was like, just go talk to them. Like, do you know who they are? I'm like, well, I know that's the executive manager, but she kind of looks scary. You know, I don't know. And he's like, just go talk to her. And it was getting dark and everyone was starting to pack up and they were like literally about to take their tent down. And he like pushed me, was like, go over there right now. And so he really did see that I was unhappy. I mean, working 60 hours a week in a lab, driving, commuting back and forth, having 3-4 dogs, depending on when we got the last one, being newly married for a year, like it was a lot all at once. And he could tell I was unhappy. And so I think he thought, and he's told me this before, I saw you were unhappy and it wasn't what you loved. And I saw the way working on this in between studying and everything else just made you happy and how much you loved like the Instagram community with the pets. He was like, if I hadn't pushed you, you wouldn't have done it. And then you would have been sitting here working some corporate job or being in like a university situation teaching, which you hated doing anyways. So he was so supportive. My parents were supportive, but again, they were like, dog parties? What? Like, that's not a thing. What the hell are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they would come to our dogs' parties too, which I loved. My dad, God love him, he would just laugh and joke and like go grab another beer. You know, my mom would be like trying to love on all of them and get photos. And it was just hilarious for them to finally see, like, once I got started and really put like the time and effort into it, like how proud they actually were, because they were skeptics at first. They were. And so were some of my friends. Like, yeah, they thought it was cute, but you're really just going to go into the pet industry. You have no clue if you're going to like it.
Right.
And like some of the people in the science community I lost touch with, I think they probably thought I was legit crazy. I had lost my mind to leave such a like prestigious thing, you know, but it's not for everyone. And I always felt like an outsider in science. Like I always felt the way I did at first with my business. I always felt that way in science. And even though I was good at it, like I didn't feel like I was that great at it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always second guessing myself with every single thing I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I think like whenever you said, you know, people thought it was cute, like I think so often we get, and I have done this so much myself, like you get so caught up and what everybody else is going to think that it literally can paralyze you from moving forward. And if those are the only people you have to sort of look towards, if you don't have somebody in your corner that can actually see like this, like you're miserable, you need to try something else and maybe this doesn't work out. I mean, I try to always tell myself, tell my kids, tell people around me that like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, like, I know it's hard to walk away from something that you've invested your time in, you've invested in financially, you've thought that this is what's going to happen. But there is, I mean, short of, you know, actually physically hurting somebody, like, there's nothing wrong with trying something because you can always go back to it. But it's really, really hard because we get caught up in this, like, idea of what, like, career you're supposed to have or what it's supposed to look like on paper or being taken seriously, like people to be like, oh, Amanda with her cute little parties, you know, I mean, and then thinking like that just puts that doubt in your mind, you know, a little bit. Like it's you start to think like, is it just like this like crazy little thing that's never going to come to fruition? I'm never going to be able to like actually make it work. And so what other than like Trey kind of pushing you, like what like actually gave you like yourself that confidence to, was it because you were just like had a mindset of, yeah, I can just go back to this if I want to at some point? Or like, what were you thinking? Like, what did you feel that actually gave you the courage to be able to do it? Cause that's a big leap. Like, that's not just like, you know, I'm going to be a teacher and now I'm going to leave teaching and be a counselor or become like become an administrator. Like, this is a whole different path. So what within yourself actually like gave you that courage?
I feel like when I look back on it, the only way that I would have left was knowing I still had the option to come back. I think having that option gave me a little bit more of that kind of security blanket feeling if you go and manage this daycare that you have no idea what you're doing and you absolutely hate it, you can go back at any time because you're on leave. But when I look back on that, my lab was going to leave and move to Oklahoma, whether I was there for another 6 months or I had taken the leave of absence. And I would have been having to start over completely. When your lab leaves, if no one will take you on and you can't take your research 100% with you because it's the labs, you have to start over. So I would have probably been behind another 2 years of a 4, 5, 6, 7 year PhD program. And so it's funny to look back on it because I was so scared. Like when I walked into the dean's office to ask for approval, I wanted to just vomit. I felt so sick to my stomach and was so scared they were going to say no. And then I would have had all this like hope of like trying something new. And so when it all fell into place, it was great. But then I took a week for myself before starting my job in the pet industry. And I second guessed myself the entire week. Like, what am I doing? What if I'm not good at it? Or what if the people don't like me? Like, I haven't led a team in a really long time. There was so much self-doubt in so many different areas, not just that it was totally different, but that judgment, like, what if I'm not a good leader? What if my team doesn't like me? Because I didn't get to pick them. They had already been assigned to me for the new location. So there was just so many different factors into it. You know, are they going to trust me because I've never even worked in the pet industry? I just own four dogs and know a little bit about here and there what to do with them. And so it was a lot of emotions for about 2 months until I finally got the hang of things and then loved it. It was like the best decision I ever made.
Yeah. I love that because I do think that that is one of the hardest things is like if you kind of stay inwardly with that fear. And if you can't move through it, like things like I tell people all the time and I have to remind myself constantly is like, just because you want something doesn't mean it's not going to be scary. Like you have to walk through that fear. You have to keep going or else it's going to literally paralyze you and you're going to stay stuck, right? You're going to stay stagnant. You're never going to progress. You're never going to grow if you are too scared to do it. And so it literally is like you have to do things scared and it, but it can be super intimidating when you're brand new in an industry and you think like, I don't have like, what makes me an expert? What makes me, I have four dogs. Like other than that, what are people going to take me seriously? And so I think that part, and I mean, I know a lot about your story anyway, but I think that part is so incredibly admirable because it is something that will hold people back and it will keep you, you want to be safe. You want to stay safe. You know, you don't want to walk through that fear. And so I think it's like incredible that you sort of pushed through that. And you know, I mean, even though you've been doing this for about 6 years now, like there have been, you know, having your own business is even vastly different than working just in the pet industry, you know, and growing the business so successfully. I mean, you have had a ton of publicity. You've been on ABC National News. Is that correct? Like you've had local news stories. You have just a rabid following on social media. And I mean, you definitely have what I feel like have become very much like the quintessential pet party planner. Not that I know a ton, but I mean, I do feel like very, very much people probably are looking at you very much as like an expert or sort of a trailblazer, like in this industry. And the fact that that I feel like has happened rather quickly, but it has come with like, you have been uncertain as you know, all of us are when we're, you know, starting out, and you have just continued to kind of push through that and work through that. You bought, you started with Bark Day Planner, right? And then you bought Buster's Party Supplies, correct? And when did that happen?
That was in 2022. So jump back a little bit, middle of 2021, we left Houston. And so I left the entire community that I had started to like build upon and create different relationships to a city in Arkansas that wasn't really to the level of dog friendly and like pets being a part of the family the same way. And I thought I lost my business completely. I was still working remote for the pet resort at the time. And so I was like, man, maybe this is just what I'm supposed to do. Maybe I'm not supposed to have this business anymore. And then I, you know, just kind of started trying to see if there was a different way. And then one of my vendors, Buster's Party Shop, who I got all of my party hats from, they were going to just go ahead and kind of just stop selling, stop doing. She had hit a point where this wasn't what she wanted to do anymore. She wanted to focus on another portion of, you know, her life that she loved. And so we started talking and I was going to purchase a bunch of inventory and start having these hats. And then she was like, hey, would you want to purchase the business from me? Like, I didn't think about doing it, but now that we're talking, and it was so unexpected. I had a bunch of like question marks. I'd never purchased a business. I had no clue. And so it just kind of happened. Honestly, I had gone to Ultimate Product Party that summer, felt a ton of mixed emotions, but it also like lit a fire under me of like, I can do this. And then I was moving yet again to Dallas for my husband's job, which has been an awesome move for us. And the community has been great, but purchasing that business, then saying I'm leaving my day job finally, like I think I have what I need in place. Financially, mentally, everything was good to go. And then right as we moved, I got hit with like horrible medical issues, made me second guess myself yet again. Like, what am I doing? I don't have a team. Like, see, I'm out for a month and a half, 2 months. Like, I can't, you know, financially be stable like this. I just bought a new company. What am I doing? And that was a really hard year because you think you're ready and you're never fully ready. Right. You are still learning. And then you finally feel like you get a good, like, you know, just stamina and like flow. And then it all comes to place for the most part. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But it is scary. Like the whole journey of it all is scary, from purchasing a business to having your own business. I mean, running a small business is insanely hard, as you know, too. Yeah. It is just product based for me has been the hardest.
Yeah.
And I think that's only because I started out service based, but I was not loving the product side of things for a very long time. Still kind of questionable, but they're really fun to make. I'm just not the best at all the other in-betweens.
Right, right. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I do think when you sort of, when you're, you have a spirit within you to be like, be an entrepreneur, to start, you know, small businesses, I'm obviously you're very creative. And so, and that was a very good fit. Obviously that was a very like good transitional fit for you to obviously take over that, since it complemented your other business so well. But it is one of those things where you can easily sort of
get your hands in too many pots almost. And, yes. and then it can become really overwhelming. And especially when you're talking about products and scaling and trying to do all of that. So the thing that I love so much also about your attitude is that you continue to say, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, yeah. like you're like, I didn't know. I'd never bought a business before because like, I mean, unless you are, I don't know, like Mark Cuban or something, like how much experience does like a regular person have yeah. with, you know, buying a business? Yet you did it. Like, yet you went forward, you figured it out. Obviously growing pains, obviously, you know, it's not, yeah, it's stressful, but you continue to figure it out and do it. And obviously you've done it very successfully. And, you know, so I think that that's it's such an incredible part because, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you said, like, you didn't know if you were going to even like this industry coming from science, but you went ahead and did it and you tried it and you, you know, figured out that it did. And, you know, had it not worked out to your benefit, yes, you would have had a little safety net to go back to. And I think that that's just one of the biggest things, like, to like reminding people when you're thinking, hey, like, this is just not fulfilling me anymore. Like, this is just, yeah. not this path, this traditional path that we were talking about earlier before we started recording of you go, you know, you graduate from high school and then you go to college and so, or like you get to college and they're like, what do you want to do? Like, what do you mean? Like, I literally just got here. Like, what yeah. I want to do is like go to the frat party and that's all I care about. Like, I don't. What do you mean? What do I do? Like, I have to pick a career at the age of yeah. 18 and then start working towards that. But yet we do. And, you know, you get through college, you random. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm sure some people, yes, they know that they want to be doctors or lawyers or whatever mm-hmm. it is that they are called to do. From my experience at 18 years old, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so, yes, you randomly pick Same. Something and then you end up in this position of like, now I have to get a job and because this is the path. And then I do this and then I, you know, what I get married and I have children or whatever. Like, I feel like you Yep. have really bucked the system in terms of all of the things and had and just absolutely like blazed your own trail, which I think can be so rewarding because you obviously, I mean, again, doesn't mean that it's perfect in any, by any stretch of the imagination, but also probably a hell of a lot happier with your seven dogs and oh, your yeah. pet party business than maybe you would have been like, you know, saying, you know, being in a lab the whole time or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's been highs, lows, in betweens all over the place, but I wouldn't change it because like you said, I could be doing something that I just think I have to for a paycheck and for the benefits versus mm-hmm. doing what I actually love and creating something that's a new super niche down part of mm-hmm. planning and like event planning industry itself. So yeah, it's been a wild ride thinking back from 18-year-old Amanda to almost 33-year-old Amanda.
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely like an incredible story. And I love that you came on to share it with us. And I think it's one of the things that I feel so passionate about is people realizing at whatever stage, like I do feel like, I mean, you are still relatively young, but the fact that you were able to discover this so early on is not something that everybody can figure out. But the steps are the same. Like the steps are mm-hmm. the same. You might have, you know, at in your 40s, you might have a little bit more, you might be a little more dug into that comfort in terms of like, I have spent all of this time invested into this and building this career. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you are so incredibly unhappy or it's just not who you are, like the fact that like you don't have to stay as that person, like you don't yeah. have to be that, like you actually have a choice and helping people realize like you have a choice with that. You have your own voice. You can make your own rules. You can decide what you want to do. You just have to be brave enough to like do it and willing to like understand that it's not going to be like this like smooth, wonderful, successful thing, which you have attested to as yeah. well in terms of like there being growing pains and some bumps along the way. But I mean, I think just looking, you know, if seeing you on socials or knowing you at all, like everything, I feel like everything about your business is so aligned with who you are as a person. I mean, yeah. Like if you're listening, you can't see that Amanda has pink hair, but this beautiful pink hair that I like love so much. And you've had it ever since I've known you, but just like everything about you is, I feel like is such a reflection of like your business and vice versa. And so definitely. I can't imagine you as just like a blonde, like in a lab coat.
It's crazy to think about too. I always wanted to have pink hair, but in the universities you couldn't. And then even in the pet industry, I wasn't allowed to have facial piercings. I wasn't allowed to have colored hair, no like super visible tattoos. I mean, it was the same thing. You couldn't be yourself even if you wanted to be partially yourself with just a job, you know? Right. And so when I finally decided to do it, I was like, might as well. And it's funny, my mom's always like, are you doing pink again this time? I'm like, sure am. I can only do it for so long, probably. And I love it because for the first time this last year, I think I feel the most myself that I've ever felt in my entire life, because I'm not having to follow these rules that are already put in place for me from the moment I walk through a door, signing my life away, you know, starting this new job. I can be me. And I can do it, you know, however I want and be authentically myself to everyone that I meet. And so it's really been awesome. I still second guess myself when people stare at me, like getting on an airplane and everyone's looking at you and you see these people staring up at you, like all that goes through my head is, oh my God, they're looking at my hair. And then the next person will be like, oh my God, your pink hair is beautiful. And I'm like, oh yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's, like me, I'm funny. Like, look at my friend and her pink hair. I love this. Yes, she's amazing. Like, it's like the
but
best thing.
Funny,
but yeah, you know, yeah.
How like you still have self-doubt from the littlest things because of what society has put as like the normal path, the normal things, right. The normal hair color. And it is so crazy that I don't know how sometimes I made it all the way this way sometimes with how much I get in my head with things, but I'm glad that I continued and pushed through because it has been something that I was talking to a friend recently that's also in the small biz thing. And we were talking about how many awesome ideas or like really unique businesses probably just get shot down by the person who wants to create them because they don't have a support system or they don't have the, you know, just that feeling inside of them to just do it. Or someone's told them it's a silly idea or cute parties, you know? I mean, so many times I thought about just like letting it go, being done with it, never getting on social media again because it's exhausting. But I think about all those people that didn't have a supportive husband or a supportive best friend or someone to push them to do it, because I would have never done this if I hadn't been kind of nudged and gently pushed out of my comfort zone to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that I know now you are actually offering, you're helping others sort of plan their businesses as well and plan their parties as well. And you're offering this to them as well and sort of guiding them through that and coaching them through that. Which I think is, even if you didn't do that, the fact that people can look at you and they can say, like, even if I don't have like a supportive husband in my corner, or I don't have a best friend that's like, do it, or my parents aren't supportive. That is the power, I feel like, of social media. There's a lot of crap and there's a lot of bad stuff about social media that literally drives me crazy. But at the heart of it, sometimes when I'm like, I never would have connected with you had it not been through social media. Like I never would. And so many other people who want to, like maybe do have a great idea for a business, but it's a little out of the box, or it's a far stretch from their like life in corporate or in the lab or as a lawyer, or they come from a long line of people who like their parents were lawyers and their grandparents were lawyers and they want to like build bicycles or whatever it is. Yeah. Right. And having somebody who that you can find on social media, or you can see it, like if people like can connect that story. And that's one of the reasons that I like wanted to have you on too, because I just feel like it's so important. A lot of times you don't have that person in your corner to nudge you, and you don't have somebody there to hold your hand, and recognizing that there are women out there who are doing it and they can inspire you. And I think that that's such a great thing that you are also offering to people. So I hope you realize that you are a huge inspiration. I mean, you're a huge inspiration to me, and I'm like so many years ahead of you in age, but I'm always just like, if Amanda can do this, I can surely be brave enough to do this. So
yeah, of course. And like when I receive DMs from people, sometimes it's like a shock because I'm like, me? Like, what do you mean? Because I still think of myself as just like, not that I'm like the same Amanda, but I'm still on the same journey as everyone else just because it's totally different, or I've had like a really awesome, you know, feature, things like that. But when they send me those like random ones, I got one yesterday and it wasn't even about business, but it was like, I didn't know you existed. I'm planning my golden retriever's birthday and I live in the UK. And your page literally just gave me so many fun ideas that I'm going to incorporate. Like, I wish you lived here. I get those kind of messages. Yeah. And those are just the ones that I love so much, because even if I can't help you, or you just stumbled upon me like the week of your dog's birthday, if you can see something I've done or a tip that I put out and that helps you, like, that's what I want. I want to be able to help everyone if I could. And it's just those messages that you get from people that you would never think of that just make you remind you why you do it.
Right, right. Exactly. No, I think, and it's so impactful. And I mean, you are so great at what you do. And like I said, the parties are spectacular. And I think it's such a great like niche market. And you are really just becoming very, very, and just like I said, a little trailblazer of people doing this in this little space. And so I do think that before long, we will be seeing you on, you know, Vanderpump Rules, and all of the celebrities will be using you, as like, fingers crossed this can happen. But what is new? Where can people find you? And what are you doing right now that you would like to tell everybody about to come and find you and support you?
Definitely. So you can find us on any social at the Bark Day Planner. It's all just one word. That's how it is on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, all the fun stuff. And right now, a new fun thing that we've started offering this year is virtual party planning. And not just for, hey, I have a dog named Fido, I want to have a second birthday party, but for pet related businesses. We've done a handful of those this year. Or people that are wanting to throw a party for their pet of any kind that just need someone to brainstorm with, someone to do the shopping for them, someone to hop on Zoom with them and help them set the table during the actual morning of the event or afternoon, things like that. And so that's been something that's really unique. Virtual party planning has been a thing in the event industry for a little while, but nothing specifically driven for pets. And so it's some of my tips and tricks that I specifically use at my clients' parties that I can help you with, like the stretchy tablecloths. I'm obsessed with them. They're the easiest thing to throw in the washer. If, you know, someone decides to mark their territory on it, you throw it in the washer and they're good as gold. They don't get wrinkled like traditional linens. It's been like the best thing that I ever purchased. And when people do chat with me or have me virtually plan with them, they're like, man, these are the best things. So I just love sharing those things. And now I get to with anyone that wants to jump on Zoom with me.
That is awesome. I love it. I love it so much. Well, thank you so much for being here with us and talking to me. I love your story and I love everything that you sort of encompass in your life and in your business. And so thank you again for being with us this week. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, that's it for this episode of Hustle Culture Dropout. I'm your host and real life bestie, Chastity Campbell. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star review if you loved it. Don't even bother if it's anything less than 5 stars. You can also follow me on socials at Chastity Campbell Co. or check out the website at chastitycampbell.com. Until next time, here's to living our most radically authentic and unapologetic lives. Thanks for listening.